VOCM presents Nightline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. And now your host, Jonathan Richler.
Good evening, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in on a holiday Monday. It is the 13th of November, 2017. I'm in studio here with our producer, Patrick Myler. And we're very much looking forward to an interesting show of folks who don't normally have a chance to call in. But it's a holiday, and everyone seems to be somewhat available, where most people who normally are calling in on Mondays are not available. So it's quite fascinating. I'm still sorting through a news release I was made aware of this morning, because, like most smart people in this province, I listen to Paddy Daly's Open Line. And there was an announcement made by government basically 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I don't know, sometime around there, Friday. Just before Remembrance Day long weekend. Which normally isn't a long weekend. It just so happened that Remembrance Day fell on a Saturday, therefore today was a holiday. So the 3PS South Coast Cod Fishery is going to be reopened to factory fisher trawlers, from, to the best of my understanding. 100-foot plus vessels. I don't get it. I don't get it. If we are applying the precautionary principle, how is it that when we still, and I believe we've heard from our own government say that they're still sorting through the data as to whether or not the population stocks are strong, that we are seeing the exact opposite of the precautionary principle? You're not being careful if you're opening up the South Coast Cod Fishery to factory fisher trawlers, in my inexpert opinion. I'm not a fishery scientist. I don't count fish. But I got my grade 11, and this doesn't make any sense to me. So, I think it's also been stated that the quota has been changed, and therefore this is going to be better for a smaller number of harvesters. And I got an email here from some organization called the Groundfish Enterprise Allocation Council that says, and I'm quoting here, the open fishery means that 200 employees at a plant called Icewater Seafoods in Arnold's Cove, pardon me, coughing, can breathe easy, in their words, knowing that they'll continue to operate throughout the winter months. And of course, this plant processes both cod and other things. And this is good. It's good that the factory fisher trawlers will be out there harvesting the South Coast cod. And this is only being perceived from this particular announcement, as you can see, as good for jobs. It mentions nothing about the precautionary principle, but it says that they are going to commit or continue to commit to resource sustainability. I don't understand how the two can exist, coexist, if you will. I'm hoping that some folks who understand more about this can call in tonight and explain it to us. I heard Keith Sullivan on this morning with Paddy Daly. That was an interesting call. If you missed it, head on over to the website, vocm.com/shows, and you will be able to access the information on the podcast. Lastly, before we go to the first call, I'm very much looking forward to speaking with Mike Kelly. I want to say that there's some individuals who are wishing to get on again tonight to speak about the by-election in Bonavista, Buren, Trinity. And that's because there is a nomination meeting to select the candidate tomorrow and Wednesday between 4 and 9 p.m. So tomorrow, Tuesday, it's at Centerville, Wareham Trinity Fire Hall, also at Dildo Inn by the Bay, and in Marystown Hotel and Convention Center. Wednesday, at the Bonavista Garrick Theater, the Clarenville Inn, and the Legion Branch 25 in Fortune. 4 to 9 p.m. No doubt that this information is distributed in some regions, but not all. So it's good to get this information out there. And of course, it is a ranked ballot, which some people are nervous about because not all of us went to political science classes. Not all of us understand what a ranked ballot is. Not all of us, none of us really, live in the states where ranked ballots are par for the course. But to add even more confusion to it, not all ranked ballots follow the same rules as other ranked ballots. So here we go. And this is from one of the candidates. People are going to be asked to rank the five candidates in order of preference. 1 to 5. And in all fairness, let's go here. Bonavista, Buren, Trinity candidates. Here we go. Look at that. All right. So, of course, former broadcaster here on the station, Pete Soucy. We've got Dale Foote, Larry Ginchard, Churance Rogers, that's 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and of course Merv Wiseman, who we spoke with last Friday. That's 5. So you rank those candidates in order of preference. Up to you. It's your region. Rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. A particular candidate needs 50% of the votes cast in order to win. So after the first choice candidates are counted, whoever got the least amount of votes is out. I suppose that's similar to a lot of contests that we've seen take place before. And those votes are viewed to see who their supporters locked in as their second choice. So this continues on until someone receives 50% of the votes. No doubt, I would say it would not take more than one to see who gets locked in for 50% of the vote. There are a lot of strong candidates here. In fact, one might say they're all strong candidates. So we'll see where the strength lies. But here it is. If I rank Johnny B. Good as number 1 and Great Balls of Fire as number 2, my first place choice is not affected by who I decide to be number 2. And the percentages of choice number 2 are counted only if the first choice candidate is kicked out. In other words, if my Johnny B. Good makes it into number 5 instead of number 1 with a bullet, he's out. That's a rock and roll analogy for a ranked ballot system. I doubt I'll be teaching any political science classes soon with that level of skill and communications, but there it is. If any of you want me to read that out again, I would be happy to do so later on in the program. But tomorrow's a big day, and the day after that's a big day for all those folks because there's a $170,000 job on the line. And that region, of course, is strong with the Liberals. So pretty much, whoever gets it, by all accounts, has a very good chance of getting the seat in the by-election when and whenever it happens, which I think is the 11th of December. So these are big 48 hours for all of these five individuals, and I wish all of them, each of them, the best of luck. Once again, Larry Ginchard of Garnish. We've got Churance Rogers, former mayor of Harbor Breton. We have former RCMP Staff Sergeant Dale Foote. We have former broadcaster, marathon runner, and comedian Pete Soucy, and just recently stepped down, president of the Federation of Agriculture, former farmer, animal farmer, and search and rescue operator, if you will, operator, manager, I'm not sure, I can't recall, Merv Wiseman. And of course, Merv Wiseman ran provincially and I believe federally in the past as well. So did Mr. Soucy, in fact. So out of the five, there are definitely three that have political experience. Of course, Churance Rogers being the third. And the other two, I'm not sure their political background, but they've got five strong candidates with respect to infrastructure and public service. So this is interesting. I will be glued to the radio to hear the results. No doubt you will too. VOCM is where you can find all the info. Go to line one. We're speaking with Mr. Mike Kelly. How are you, sir?
Jonathan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad.
That was a trick question because I already asked you.
Jonathan, I'm a part of the Daffodil Place here in St. John's.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if you or your listeners, you know, really know what Daffodil Place does for people in Newfoundland and Labrador.
Well, I do because I've contributed to a number of fundraisers for it, radiothons, right here on VOCM. But perhaps there's a chance that some of our listeners are not aware of it, despite the fact that we had a 24-hour radiothon about 10 days ago with Brian O'Connell, where we raised $64,000. But let's assume that there are a few people out there, Mike, who don't know what Daffodil Place is. You go right ahead and tell us.
First of all, God bless Brian. He done an excellent job. I still got donations coming in for Daffodil Place, and I'd like to announce one tonight. But first, what I'd like to explain to people, Daffodil Place extends a home away from home. It's a $30 stay in St. John's, and what it includes is three meals a day plus snacks in the evening plus entertainment and transportation to and from your medical appointments. I think that's a sort of a minimal fee to pay for that service. We raised, I think it was almost $70,000 there about 10 days ago. And another donation came in over the weekend, and it was from Fishinell. Richard Gels and Ronnie Cleary, I do believe. So I'm pretty pleased to take that that donation to help people throughout Newfoundland and Labrador.
Do you announce the name of other organizations or just that one?
That was the one that came over the weekend.
Okay.
Ryan, I think Brian announced the other donations that I had over his time on the 24-hour period.
That's great.
But every day in Newfoundland and Labrador is Daffodil Place Day because every day is needed. It's not just one 24-hour period. It's not. It's every day. So, anyway, I thought it was really kind. I have no association with Fishinell, but if any day anybody want to phone in and give me a donation for that fellow place, I'll take it. I can give my cell number if you want.
Up to you, sir.
690-4252.
Okay.
But every day when a donation comes in, it makes me happy.
Now, what is your affiliation with Daffodil Place? I'm not sure. Is this your 9-to-5?
No, it's not. It's a total volunteer.
Okay. Because volunteer. When we've spoken in the recent past, you were, of course, the regional director for Mount Pearl North, or at least the president of the constituency office, or the, what's it called? Help me out.
Yeah.
It's called the... Mike, tell me what the title is.
It's... I'll tell you, Jonathan.
You too.
First of all,
you can't remember what it is either. Oh my goodness!
No. But first of all, listen. I'm volunteer for a lot of things in Newfoundland and Labrador, and I can tell you, I'm president for Mount Pearl North of the Liberal Party
Riding Association. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
And the regional director for Avalon Central.
Right.
However, I want that stay out of us, really. I mean, that's not important to me. Daffodil Place is the most important thing for me right now. And, you know, it's important, but at the end of the day, Daffodil Place helps people throughout Newfoundland and Labrador. And I only represent a small portion of Newfoundland and Labrador compared to Daffodil Place. Because we're looking at people throughout Newfoundland and Labrador. And that means a lot to me.
Okay.
Oh. But anyway, I'd like to recognize Fishinell for coming in past Brian's broadcast.
Yeah.
And if any other company, organization, or person would like to donate to Daffodil Place, I appreciate it dearly. How's
okay. That sounds fantastic. So your cell phone I just put out there on the Twitter, 690-4252. And, Mike, good luck. Hopefully you'll get lots and lots more. And thank you to everybody who donated, including the folks, Ryan Cleary and Richard Gillett of FishNL. And hopefully we'll get lots of inspiration from their kind act of generosity. Last thoughts there, Mike, before we go to the break?
Yes, sir. Just it's not about me. It's about us. It's about helping people throughout Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would misunderstand your motivations for calling tonight.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
You take care, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Cheers.
Okay, bye.
We're going to go to the break, and afterwards, we're going to hear from you.
VOCM's Nightline. Call now, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM. This is Nightline on VOCM.
Welcome back to the show. Follow along at VOCM Nightline for fun and frisky tweets, including some tweets of support. Fisher Sheldon says that I'm not the only one who doesn't understand what the Department of Fisheries and Oceans is thinking with regards to 3PS cod. Mike, always a tremendous amount of support from Mike and Sheldon. Mike says, you're more likely to get a long weekend out of Remembrance Day as opposed to a holiday in the middle of the week, I suppose. As it falls on Friday to Monday, you get a long weekend, only 3 of 7 days, Tuesday, Thursday, it gets you a single. So, yeah, so you're right. If it falls on a Friday or Monday, you will get a long weekend. That's, or between Friday and Monday. Yeah, those are some good odds. Angus Anderson says, with respect to the question of the day, take away people's driving privileges for a week and fine. What's the question of the day? Well, buys. We're going to be seeing some increase in fines for many offenses under the Highway Traffic Act. What would you like to see done for repeat offenders? The options are other, increased fines, lifetime driving bans, impounding of vehicles, and jail sentences. Yeah, well, you know, fines. Fines are one thing, but if these folks don't have the cash to pay for them, that's why we see folks kicking around town in beaters, you know, $400 junk cars with no license, no insurance, no registration. They don't care. And, you know, they got tens of thousands of dollars in fines. They don't care, clearly. So we need to do something else. Ankle bracelets? I don't know. Just putting it out there. House arrest? If you can't pay your fines, what do? Forced labor? You know, put them on the cleaning crews or whatever. We get emails like that all the time. Put these folks on the cleaning crews, is what people say. Get them to pick up garbage on the side of the highway. Hey, most of us volunteer to do that. Why can't people do it as a form of community service? I don't know. What do you think? Maybe that should be a question of the day. We're going to line number one. We're going all the way to beautiful Clarenville. We're speaking with the manager of the White Hill Ski Resort, pardon me, the former king of cod, donut master, some might say wizard, Chris Shepherd. How are you, chef?
I'm pretty good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm kind of rotted. I was going to try and make it out to Clarenville this weekend to see you at the farm and market, but they're closed.
Yeah, tent blew down, sort of.
That's harsh.
Yeah, so we're, you know, we got a good run of it. It was a good summer, but the weather, you know, sort of dictates everything around here, so.
Yeah.
You know, although they're looking to do one more on November 25th inside the Clarenville Inn. So, stay tuned for the final details, but it's looking like that could very well go ahead, so.
That's wonderful. So the 25th of November.
Yeah. 25th of November, yeah.
Excellent. I will certainly pay attention to details, yours and others' Twitter feeds to see what's happening. I reached out to you and a number of other resorts around the province because snow is already hitting Labrador, so we got to get ready for the next season, the season where we're going to shed a few pounds while having some fun on the slopes. So, Chris, tell us what's in store for White Hill Ski Resort this winter, if you don't mind.
Well, we've so for those who don't know, I'm the brand new resort manager, just came on last week. So we're making lots of plans for the upcoming season. Not a lot finalized as of yet, but we're working on it. So you'll see some of our previous events we've had in terms of beyond just being on the slopes, what can you do? So we'll be bringing back Eat the Hill this year, of course. I'm guessing you'll be there joining us as well.
Hopefully.
As always. And so, but we're looking at some other things we can do. You know, it's a fantastic facility over and above the skiing and snowboarding and cross-country and snowshoeing and all those things you can do. We want to bring people out who maybe want to see what it's all about or are interested in those things but have never tried it. And you kind of ease them in with some events inside the building first and maybe some outdoor events. So we're looking at doing community events like marshmallow roasts, more food and beverage events inside. But in addition to that, you know, according to the Dogberries, there's going to be piles of snow. So there should be lots of great runs to be had on the hill this year.
Are there any new runs opening up or ones that have been closed over the past couple of years?
No, we've got a couple of new runs opening up. So we just put the new signage up today, last week to identify those new runs. We'll have three new ones in total.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for those. We're going to change some of our maps to update for those because they sort of just got finished up in the last couple of weeks.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we'll have a couple of new runs. Like I said, the, you know, by all accounts, there's going to be a lot of snow this year.
Yeah.
Lots to do. You know, I think one of the things we're going to try to highlight is that, you know, skiing and snowboarding is more than just Saturday. We, you know, Saturday clearly is our busiest day. I think there's lots to be had, lots of activities to be had on Sunday, you know, to make it a weekend event. Or come out Sunday instead of Saturday. I think you'll get a lot more runs in on a Sunday than you're going to get on a Saturday.
Because of the people.
Because of the people. The, you know, typically, like I said, Saturday is our busiest day.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we need to look at people, need to look at maybe possibly doing it on a Sunday or like I said, coming out for 2 days.
And one of the things that we need to remember is skiing is whether or not you reproduce. It's a family event, and it's great. You can bring your nephews or nieces or friends with their kids. You don't have to leave the kids at the babysitter, in other words. It is something that people of all ages can do, whether you're into your 80s or 90s or your 8s or 9s. It's something that is quite simple to do. I, myself, am terrified of ski lifts, so I love the cross country. And I really enjoyed falling on my arse on the cross-country trails last February at Eat the Hill up at White Hills. It was one of those days that was somewhat icy and challenging for novices like myself, but it was fun. And there was lots of people around who would help you navigate the trails and take you to secret spots. It's great. It's a very – what I like about the Clarenville region, it's very community-oriented, and everyone who goes there has a vested interest in making sure that it continues to be a success.
Absolutely. So, and unlike many resorts, people, not everyone realizes this, White Hills is a not-for-profit. We are we're there for the benefit of the community and to offer a service that you can't get anywhere else in eastern Newfoundland. And I think just to go back to your point before, I think skiing, snowboarding, like using the facility, those sorts of outdoor activities are you know, some of the few activities that you can do completely 100% as a family. I mean, my wife, my two kids, we can all go up and stay and spend the day together on the hill. And there's not a lot of other activities you can do that are truly family oriented like that. So it's a great place to come up and make memories and really be a family, you know, to do that.
Thank you for this. For those who are unaware, it is a not for profit, and we should pay attention to that because, you know, Marble, for example, Marble Mountain out in the West Coast is subsidized by the government. White Hills is not. It's owned and operated, I believe, by the town. Yes.
The facility is owned by the town, but the operations are by a not-for-profit board called the Alpine Development Alliance.
Right.
And we run based on, you know, what we make from people coming and using the facility. So, you know, the more people who come, the more people who avail the facility, the more we can invest back into it and continue to make it a better facility and grow it and do more things and have it a better facility. So it's all about the number of people who come, and we welcome everybody to White Hills this winter.
Hope to see you there more than once, and definitely for Eat the Hill, if you'll have me. I would love to come back and take in all that Clarenville has to offer, and that includes a gym pool experience. And for those who know what I'm talking about, you know that the wagon wheels are top shelf. Chris Shepherd, thank you very much, and maybe, you never know, might see you on the 25th over the Clarenville Inn.
Sure, let me know what you're doing, and we can meet up.
Cheers. All right.
Okay, buddy, thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, love that town. It's great. So friendly. And got a few new friends that live in that region. You know who you are, and happy birthday to you, Brad. And I think it was someone else's birthday this past weekend as well. If I'm not mistaken, it was Sheldon, but I'm not sure. It's one of this Twitter gang. It can all be called a gang. A gang of fun. We're going to line number two. Speaking of fun, the mayor of the biggest city in the province of Newfoundland, Labrador, that would be St. John's, His Worship Danny Breen. How are you?
Hey, Jonathan. How are you this evening?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much. I had the majority of the day off, so that was lovely. It was quiet, windless, which is unusual for this late into November, and therefore I am grateful. Would love to hear from you tonight about how the services went on Remembrance Day this past Saturday.
Oh, they went very well and extremely well attended. The one at the War Memorial on Duckworth and Water Street, with the crowd there was, I think, one of the largest crowds I've seen at a Remembrance Day service. Certainly on Water Street, it was filled up and you know back a fair ways, and as well on Duckworth Street, which is really great to see such a tremendous turnout on a cool day, but it certainly never kept people away.
The weather certainly was punishing, but I think most people attend with the philosophy that it's the least they can do. And those who stood for us and fought for us certainly had worse weather and less warm clothes during the entire process.
Yeah, when you there is absolutely not one ounce of comparison between the two. So it was really good though to see the crowds continue to grow on Remembrance Day, and I understand from the other Remembrance Day ceremonies in the region that they all experienced large crowds at those as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful to hear. So does anyone actually do a population count from year to year, or is it just
I think it's just a judgment call. I always judge it on the amount of the street that's full. So it used to be, I was looking down over the War Memorial onto Water Street, and usually in front of the King George V Institute, there's usually where the crowd would end, but it seemed to go back even further than that on Saturday. So, and just looking at the Duckworth Street side, it too was pretty full. So I think that's how I judge the crowds.
The laying of the wreath ceremony seems to have extended over the past few years, first and foremost to allow anyone who wishes to lay a wreath to do so before the service itself breaks up. I find this a wonderful opportunity for those who wish to give to do so. What happens to these wreaths afterwards, Your Worship? I mean, I'm never around 3 hours later. I don't know if the wreaths stay for an extended period. Where do they go?
They'll remain there until a time when they'll be removed by the staff there, but that's, I think that's a number of weeks down the road, usually when the snow begins.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The other thing about this year, there was some added additions. I know that the boys' choir performed a song there as well during the ceremony. In addition to the Singing Legionnaires, and the CLB band was there as well on the too. So every year now it seems like there's a new little piece added to it. But certainly the boys' choir was a big change this year, and it was very very good to see the younger people participating.
Regret that I wasn't able to be there this year. I think it's the first year I've missed in since I've returned home in 2010. But I've personally noticed that the crowds get larger and larger. But I also noticed that people bring more and more animals to this event, and that I find that somewhat disturbing. Do we have some sort of policy to keep these animals away? And I only ask because some people don't like animals, and I'm pretty certain animals don't like guns firing off.
Well, no, and there's also the crowds there and people trying to move around, and it creates an issue. There are no rules around it. It's left to the discretion of the pet owners who know their pets. And whether they take them there or not, I know the same issue gets discussed each year around the regatta as well.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point.
You have a big crowd, so anywhere you have a large crowd gathering, it's always an issue. But you know, most of the pet owners are very, very responsible, and I think the problems are not significant, but it does cause some issues.
Thank you for this information. I'm guessing that the council will be meeting tomorrow as a result of today's holiday, yes?
Yeah, our public meeting is tomorrow night. There's just one thing I wanted to mention, too, is those people that use Allendale Road from Nagel's Place, I think it is, down to the Parkway, the southbound lane will be closed there tomorrow. tomorrow from 9 to 4. There's work being done on the bridge, so that will create some traffic issues there. So the advisory was out today. And if anybody hasn't signed up for them, they should go on the website and sign up for the traffic advisories that get sent to your email address. So we'll give you an update on when there are road closures, et cetera. But that's a pretty significant piece of road that'll be closed down tomorrow from 9 to 4.
Okay. Thank you for that information, Your Worship, and enjoy the rest of your evening. No doubt we'll speak with you later in the week.
Okay. Take care, Jonathan.
All the best. Bye-bye. Look, Jordan Brown is letting us know that tonight is the first Labradorians of Distinction Awards ceremony. So congratulations to the recipients of this award. Looks right fancy. I think it's a lapel pin or it could be a medal. Not sure, but it's quite beautiful. And no doubt that this will be a long-standing tradition. Sheldon, who is the fisher I was speaking with earlier about the quota cuts, and the 3PS cod being opened up to factory fishery trawlers, mentions that the quota was cut in half for inshore harvesters this spring, but now they are allowing factory freezers to fish it. Don't understand the reasoning. And Sheldon's words, it's just like a slap in the face. We hope to speak with the fisheries minister this week, Jerry Byrne, either on this show or open line with Paddy Daly. And hopefully we can get to the bottom of this. And yes, it is Sheldon's and Brad's birthday that was recently passed. So congratulations to both of you youngsters. And we're going to go to the break, youngsters. I love saying that. I mean, I really don't. I don't like the fact that I'm getting older, but we all are. It's one thing that we have in common. Everybody poops and everybody ages. All right. We'll be back after the break. How are we doing for calls there, Patrick? He's got a thumbs medium, so that means that there's probably room for you to get on. All you have to do is pick up the phone. You know what to do. We'll be right back.
VOCM's Nightline. Call now. 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM. This is Nightline on VOCM.
Welcome back to the program. Boy! Oh, boy. The amount of people sending me email questions or Twitter questions about the Christmas music being played on the radio station in November. It's a little early, isn't it, says Jeff. Jeff, I got to say I agree with you. As the nice little Jewish boy that I am, I haven't heard one dreidel song. But I don't care. When I was a kid, I went to Protestant and Catholic schools, if I remember correctly. St. Mary's being the Catholic. IJ, pretty sure it was Protestant. Bishops, I don't know. Anyone help trigger my memory, that'd be great. I was in the choir, as our principal in St. Mary's used to call us, the St. Mary's Choir, every year. And I was in the choir in junior high. I don't think I was in high school. And I know my Christmas carols inside and friggin' out. I used to go caroling with my friends. Didn't give a hoot. Because it's fun, it's community, and that's what you do. You celebrate other people's culture. They came to my Hanukkah parties. Everything was good. Is it a little early to put on Christmas music? I don't understand why we have Halloween costumes that are sold 90 days before Halloween, let alone Christmas commercials, songs, up to 2, maybe 3 months before. The internet's been advertising Christmas for a half a year. You know what I'm talking about. You go to the larger retail stores, they got Christmas trees 6 months before. It's called the seasonal section. It's a little much. Thanksgiving. I saw over Halloween Christmas lights, but they were orange. They're Halloween lights. I mean, how many ways are we able to part with our money to force feed festivities down our throats? Seemingly, it's endless. And that's great. If you happen to own a factory that manufactures Halloween lights. It's also great if you're one of those people that love to decorate, like my stepmother does. My God, her house is like Santa Claus's factory, whatever it's called, the North Pole. People want Christmas music this early. People have been playing Christmas music in their car
for months. I know some people, we don't stop playing Christmas music. So why is this radio station playing? I don't know. I'm not the music programmer. I'm not going to hum any Christmas song on the show, guaranteed, until at least December 1st. But, you know, this is the world we live in now. I don't know if it's like that in Europe, that fancy place over there, or perhaps Australia. Don't know what they do in Madagascar on November 13th when Christmas is 23 days away. I don't care. If I don't like the Christmas tune that's on the radio, I'll turn it off and sing my own. But I'll always turn it back to listen to the news, the weather, the highlights, the sports, and of course the talk shows. Only you can prevent forest fires. I guess that's the bottom line. Jeff, I don't know. I feel your pain though, buddy. I really do. But I gotta say, I'm kind of excited to hear one of those Christmas tunes. I haven't heard one yet. And I hope that the first one I hear is good old Bing Crosby, because he's the deadliest. We're on line number one. We're speaking with Matthew De La Valle. How are you, sir?
Shalom, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. Shalom to you. What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Well, we're going to talk about something positive for a change.
Excellent.
I know that, you know, there's a lot of issues going on in the province right now, but, you know, I think there's some other things that we need to start remembering between all of these struggles that, you know, there comes a time when we can help each other, you know, through that struggle, and we can help each other, you know, in the simplest of ways. Sometimes, you know, just opening that door, it doesn't matter, man, woman, child, or senior, or whoever it might be, mm-hmm. you know, that opening that door for that person could mean a huge difference in their life. You don't know. Doing good things for one another, you know, it's so important. And, you know, we lose sight of those things sometimes when we get caught up in the world that we live in, especially as adults. We tend to, you know, get stressed out for no real good reason, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, life will throw wrenches at you, but you know what? You pick it up and you find a bolt it goes with. And that's sort of how I like to look at life, you know? But...
That's
great.
That's great. I love it. You yeah. find the bolts that go with the wrench. You've given me a new perspective tonight, sir.
Oh my! But I'm going to give you I want to talk about a special boy that I seen on his mother posted a fantastic thing about giving to others, and you know this kid Leland. He's one amazing kid. This is I'm going to read this to you. It's short. His mom posted it today. She gave me permission to share it with you.
Okay.
He said, she said, "My heart just fell to a million pieces. Leland just told me he wants to have a different kind of birthday this year.
Okay.
One where his friends don't bring him presents, but presents to fill stockings for less fortunate. This to go downtown and deliver them together. His plan to bring a big thing of hot chocolate to share, stockings filled with warm things and Christmas goodies and a birthday cake. He says it will be his best birthday yet. Just when you think you couldn't be more proud."
Wow.
You see, this is an 8-year-old boy who gets it. He gets what it means to do good for others. He gets doing, you know, putting out goodwill, you know. I was just taken back by that. And that really, you know, you talk about inspiration, that is one inspirational thing to read. And, you know, you sit on Facebook, you go through the news feeds, but stuff like this really sticks out.
It really does. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I'd like to see on a news feed, quote-unquote news feed on the face page or anything like that. I don't go to social media sites like Facebook for news. I go there for entertainment and also inspiration. So this is perfect. And Matthew, thank you for sharing that with us.
Not a worry. And I think he's a proud little boy. He's a good little boy. I think he's going to do some amazing things in his life.
Yeah, no kidding. If you're brave enough to do that at an early age, look out.
Yes, I know. I can imagine what he's going to be like when he's 20. But, you know, in talking about that, you know, Jonathan, a lot of us forget, you know, that's the thing that we have always prided ourselves on as Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. We've always prided ourselves on the fact that when we had a neighbor who might not have been doing so well, we were always there to help in some way or another, like whether it was to bring over a hot meal, whether it was to share a cup of tea, whether, you know, you had a pair of pants or a shirt that didn't fit you anymore or didn't fit your children, you brought it over to your neighbors and you know. And so this is how we roll as Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. It's not normal for us not to do these things. And, you know, and it makes you proud to be a citizen here. It really makes you proud of what we are when we do the right thing as people, you know?
Yeah, and in fairness, I don't think that's any different than anywhere else. I've never witnessed any level of selfishness in other places in Canada. I've never lived anywhere else in the world, but I don't think it's unique to Newfoundland and Labrador.
No, it seems more unique here because where our communities are small, I guess, and you know, and it's sort of a thing that we've always done. And, I mean, I know in Canada, many people do this across the country, and you know, it gives you a lot of pride as a human being, you know, knowing that so many people, there are so many lights in the world, and you know, spreading that bit of light, man, in a when things are dismal and dark is just awe-inspiring, and it really does the heart good, you know, to see that the world is not so bad after all.
Do you think that spreading the light comes in the form of allowing Christmas music on the airwaves 6 weeks before Christmas?
I don't mind it at all, man. Like, I could care less. You know, I'm happy, you know, if it makes people happy, you know. And it's like you said earlier, man, you know, all you got to do is, if you don't like the tune, turn off the station.
As long as you turn it back on.
Yeah, as long as you turn it back right on after the tune is over.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, radio, if you don't like the tune, you always know that you can turn it right back on in about 3 minutes and 15 seconds, because that's generally the length of song that's edited down for a radio jam. And, you know, go brush your teeth and come back and the song's over.
Yes, there you go.
That's it.
But, you know, it's you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy this time of year. And, you know, to me, the way I look at it, you know, you give all year long and you do what you can for others no matter what time of the year it is. Christmas does bring out some of the best in us, and that's wonderful. And I don't mind it. I enjoy it. I take it for what it's worth. You only live one life, and you know, you just gotta take it as it comes, and you enjoy it while you got it, because we don't know when we're going to be skipping the mortal coil, so to speak. You know.
Yeah.
So you know, you just do it. You do it. You enjoy it. Because you only got one tour.
Well said, sir. Thank you very much for your time tonight. And Matthew, I hope that we are able to have another positive conversation soon, because I do enjoy what you bring to the airwaves. I hope to hear from you again soon.
I enjoy listening to you, Jonathan, and you're a voice of the people, and I really appreciate you getting out there and putting out the word where it needs to be heard, you know?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Bye-bye. All right.
And I ran into a few nice folks this weekend who mentioned that they do listen to me. And as I'm always want to say, the first thing I say is, I'm sorry. And of course, it's a joke. Really, I'm grateful that you do listen to the program. And normally, I just apologize for my jokes, but really, they're all my dad's. So truly, it's his fault. But thank you. Seriously, it's great that you listen to us. And by us, I mean myself and Daryl Power, who will be back here on Thursday night. I'm taking the night off on Thursday. I'm going to head down to the Kitty Vitty Brewery because there is a competition between three culinary wizards for a fundraiser for the St. John's Farmers Market. It's called Pork Wars. The Pork Awakens. Happens every year. I think it's already sold out, but who knows? You can probably check out the face page for the Farmers Market and see for yourself. But there are three individuals who will be making some pulled pork sandwiches, and I can't wait to partake and put my money where my mouth is, because it's good to donate to small businesses, and the cooperative is a collection of small businesses, so that's wonderful. Speaking of which, we're hoping to speak with the owner of Posey Row this week about the number of new businesses that have opened up in her brand new expanded location on Duckworth. It's great to see a revitalization and a resurgence in crafts in the downtown region. So, folks, if you have anything you would like to hear right here on VOCM Nightline. Just send me an email, nightline@vocm.com, and I will do my best to make that happen. So we're going to go to the news at the top of the hour. We'll be back for the second segment right after this.
VOCM's Nightline. Call now, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM. This is Nightline on VOCM.
So one of the fellows who I wished a happy birthday to was busy putting his kids to sleep. So his buddy, who's listening to VOCM Nightline on his phone with the VOCM phone app, which you can get on the old iTunes and Google Play and all that stuff, was recording the radio show on his phone and was filming his phone with, I suppose, another internet device, uploaded the film of the phone, playing the audio of the radio show, streaming on the internet. I had lunch with a fellow who's a journalist last week, and he told me that radio is dead. And I said, absolutely not. This is the medium that will keep on going. And it is because of the extra medium known as the internet that will keep radio alive. What do you think? Shall we have a conversation about the future of radio? I would love to. I think it's strong as ever. Maybe it's because I'm a huge fan of Marshall McLuhan's philosophy as to hot and cold media. But in his words, one of the greatest Canadian philosophers, if not the greatest, outside of George Grant, radio is tribal. You only have to look as far as Newfoundland and Labrador to understand that. We are very close to our issues. We take them to heart. And I'll find the quotes from Marshall McLuhan in his famous book, Understanding Media. I think it was released in 1969. Brilliant with respect to radio and television. He called one hot media and the other cool media. And the difference is, 1 second, Al Antle, I'll get to you in a second. Hot media is a medium that allows you to use or challenges you to use more than one sense in order to absorb the information that is being presented to you. Radio is a hot media. Why? Because you listen to it, but you have to formulate the ideas or the pictures, etc., using the rest of your senses. Television or movies, he would consider a cool medium. You just sit back and let it all happen. You got your audio, you got your visual. And if you're in one of them big old IMAX theaters these days, you'd probably say, you know, the three-dimensional aspect provides more as well. It's a passive media. You soak it all in. Literally, you're a couch potato. Radio is different. It stimulates you in so many different ways. Is radio dead? Absolutely not. Why? Because of you, the listener, and callers like this on line number one, Al Antle. How are you doing, sir?
Hi there. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm good. I just gave a lecture.
And it was a wonderful lecture, very insightful.
Well, thank you. I can't take any credit for the information. It all comes from someone a hell of a lot smarter than I. But I love him.
It came out of your mouth.
That's true.
Good.
That's true. It was one of the good, better things to come out of my mouth.
So happy Financial Literacy Month to you.
Oh, okay. Oh, you just gave me a cramp. Oh, what? Financial literacy. If only I had gone to a financial literacy school as a young boy, I would not have gotten a cramp just then.
I spent last week in one of your favorite cities, Montreal.
Nice.
Attending the Financial Literacy Conference, and I'm sure you know the Hyde Regency Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge turnout nationwide. We had people from everywhere, from all the financial sector, the not-for-profit sector. We had people in from OECD, so it was an interesting time. It was certainly a great time to come together. And November, of course, is the time of month when we, as a not-for-profit, community-based organization promoting financial well-being, mm-hmm. ask people to take some time to learn something new about money and their relationship to it. November's that month.
Okay.
And in Newfoundland and Labrador, we decided that this year we'd do something completely different. In the past, we've done supermarket tours. We've done money school. We've done all kinds of weird, wonderful things to try and enhance and improve people's financial knowledge. This year, we're going to host a provincial financial literacy conference on November 30th.
Okay.
Now, we've deliberately chosen that date because that is the day on December the 1st. Credit Counseling Services in Newfoundland and Labrador will enter its 36th year of operation.
Wow!
So we deliberately chose that day. we're particularly excited about the conference because we have some incredibly interesting and wonderful speakers. First of all, Jane Rooney, who was the financial literacy leader for the country, the senior, I guess, bureaucrat, if you will, who will come in and talk to us about the federal government's perspective and why the federal government has created organizations such as the Financial Consumer Agency of Canada to help people enhance and improve their financial life. Mm-hmm. We've also got Bruce Celery, who's going to talk for about an hour and a half.
Celery?
About Bruce Celery. You'll recognize Bruce from the Globe and Mail and BBC and so on and so forth. Great guy.
Wow.
We also have Laurie Campbell, who is the executive director, my counterpart, and I'm going to say lifelong friend. That's a bit of a stretch. I'm older than she is, so we've been friends for a long time. But Laurie's going to come, and she's a well-recognized individual in the area of fraud, recognizing fraud among consumers, what it looks like, what you need to look at. You know, we have this notion that fraud only happens to old men and old women, not true. And Laurie will be talking a great deal about that.
Okay.
And then we have Patricia White, who is the Executive Director of Credit Counseling Canada. Hmm. And Patricia's going to be talking about the importance of financial literacy in the workplace. We have also called, and we're thrilled with the response. We've also put a call out for a province-wide essay contest for grade 12 students.
Okay.
And the three winners will receive $1,500, $1,000, $500 respectively, first, second, third places. And the topic of the essay is the dumbest thing I ever did with my money and what I learned from it.
Comic books.
And
I mean,
we're so the responses are in. I don't know who responded because these things are numbered when they come in. But we've had just under 30 responses to this.
Okay.
Which is remarkable given that in Toronto, with a population of 7.5 million people, and they're calling the whole country. They had 500 responses. We get 28 in Newfoundland, so we're quite happy.
Uh-huh.
And so the lunchtime guest speakers at the literacy conference will be the three winners, and they will present their conversation. And in the afternoon, then myself, Terry Chambers, and Ruth McDonald will talk about financial literacy in St. John's and what we're doing, and so on and so forth. So we're all excited, and jumping up and down. Can't believe this is happening.
That's great. So November 30th, hey?
No.
Hello? Oh, no. Ground control to Major Antle. Commencing countdown sequence on. Oh, take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Is he gone? Darn it. Al Antle, call back. We're going to go to line number two. We're speaking with Marjorie. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. I just sang some David Bowie for you.
Yes, I just get a sound of your, nice sound of your voice. No, but I was listening to the news again tonight, and I see the counselor, and I heard it right out of Danny's lips. What they're doing is rotten. It stinks.
Which counselor is that?
Job up in there. Yeah. The counselor, the staff, whoever's doing it,
yeah.
You know, and lots of people are listening, and I've bumped into people, and they think it's ridiculous for the counselor to do that to someone like Danny, for all he's after doing, and tying up, and then waste of money, waste of time, waste of everything.
Yeah, I think it stinks. I really hope that they figure out this very, very quickly, because not only is money being spent on both sides, but there is... there is time being lost, and if we're going to fill all of those houses, which obviously is the goal, the sooner the better, frankly, because not only will that increase the tax base for the municipal region, but in theory, it means that more people will be moving to the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, and how can that be a bad thing?
Kent, and it sounds awful, and you can't believe it's happened. But, you know, the first one I called you, I heard a little bit about it, but to hear it coming out of his own lips, he can't believe it's happening to him. And that he got to do this. And it's like his blackmail because they're saying if he signs off for something that everything is going hunky-dory now, but then he won't be, they'd be allowed to crucify him and he won't be able to do anything about it. And I think that stinks. And this, like that, you know, the people down the council have got to remember eating bread is still forgotten.
Well, by Marjorie, the words such as blackmail and crucifixion are pretty harsh. So, proceed with caution.
You know, but you don't do that to somebody that stayed in the province and gave everything they had.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Whatever's happening, we're not getting the full story because obviously these are large business transactions, and therefore there's some things that we're just not made aware of. What we are being made aware of in the public sphere doesn't look like. It is a fun situation for anybody, and I would agree with Danny Williams that I am also hoping for a speedy resolution. Let's get on with this. We have way too many conflicts here in the province already. This is just one that's not necessary as far as I'm concerned.
And they can't talk about it because it's before the courts. Anyway, it stinks, and I thought I can't let it go. And thank you for letting me talk about it.
Yes, bye.
Because I think it's ridiculous. Like, I think it's ridiculous that what the federal government is doing about that fishing thing and crucifying the people, you know, out in the outports, you know, holding them hostage again. You know, that they can't get on with their lives. And they're going to take the fish, and guess who could be getting it? Our indigenous people, and guess who? Quebec.
Nothing is decided yet, so I don't know. It's a little too early to say. There are, I think, some indigenous groups from Labrador who are also making an application, if I read my news correctly. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but if we don't talk about it, they do what they
Well, we
like
can't talk about it, just like we can't talk about this because it's before the courts. We can't talk about an agreement before the paper is signed, Marjorie. So it's all speculation, right?
But what I'm telling you, I mean, we're making aware that we're listening, you know, and see what they're doing. And we don't like what we think they're going to
do. We're all watching, but I think we need to reserve judgment until we see some actual deals.
I mean, I want to talk about it, and I don't like it.
All right.
So, you know, whatever they're going to do, it better be good for us. Anyway, thank you, and I'll be back again, and thank you for listening to me, and I'll give someone else a chance.
Are you going to go see Star Wars?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I'm not into that, but my favorite thing, like, is to listen to the open lines and have my mouth going.
All right. Well, I'll wear my Chewbacca mask when Star Wars is released, and I'll speak only in Wookiee.
Okay, thanks,
all right.
Johnson.
Take care, buddy.
Good night.
Bye-bye. You're damn right I'm going to do that. I got a Wookiee mask. Doesn't get used enough as far as I'm concerned. Al Antle, back on line number one.
Hey,
what happened
there,
to you?
Hey,
was I boring or something?
I heard you sing. I heard you imitate David Bowie, but you couldn't hear me. You're not bad.
You know what? I'm not terrible. I can rock a good Love Shack cover at the karaoke. Just ask Paul Lane.
You're more than passable.
Thank you.
I wanted to, again, you know, we do appreciate the opportunity that you extend to us to talk about these things. It's not every day that we get a chance to promote the work we do, so thank you very much for doing that.
That's what we're here for, bud.
Yeah, but, you know, so we've got our essay contest happening. That will be the lunchtime speaker. And in the afternoon, we'll be on. Now, we are, you know, this has been, I guess, incredibly well received. We have about 50 registrants as we close registration for what I will call adults at the close of business tomorrow, because as of tomorrow, we've set aside 150 spaces.
Wow.
And we did this deliberately for students and grade 12, post-secondary and grade 12 students.
Brilliant.
So we're going to be in contact with the schools tomorrow with the final numbers. We weren't sure. If we'd only gotten 20 registrants, then obviously we would have more students. So, but the registration from among the professional helping community has been quite incredible.
Okay.
And we're tickle pink. So tomorrow we'll be on to the high schools in St. John's and environs, inviting them to send somewhere between 6 and 10 students to school.
Fabulous.
Come along. It's free. There's no cost to anybody. We even give you a free meal. All the handouts are free. Bruce Celery's book will be free. Come on out and help us celebrate Financial Literacy Month.
Just amazing. Do us a favor. Give us a call closer to the date. A lot of time between now and November 30th, hey?
Yeah, I thank you for that. I'm back to the mainland later this week to do some work in accreditation reviews. And when I get back in the city, I will certainly give you a call.
Where are you going on the mainland?
I'm off to Toronto this time around, where I'm involved with accreditation of agencies like mine across the country.
Okay.
And so I get to go and have a look at the agency in Toronto next week.
What address are you going to? Like, where are the meetings? I'll tell you where you can eat.
I'm going to be held up at Lawrence and Shepherd.
Lawrence and Shepherd. Okay. You want to go to Tove Lee. which is a falafel joint, and the dudes are Israeli. And no joke, Al, the first time I had their falafel, I used to work up in that region, Lawrence and Shepherd. The first time I had their falafel, I cried because it was just like the falafel I had had in Jerusalem 25 years previous.
Well, I'm a real fan of North African food. I say to myself, and I don't say it publicly, but I often say it privately, I am a frustrated chef, and I cook a little bit of North African myself.
Mm.
I try my hand at Lahore and Melfouf and those sorts of things. Okay. And so I'm a real fan of North African cuisine in any event, and you've just given me some wonderful advice, and I will be... you are, and by the way, you are right in the heart of what I'll call the North African community in that part of Toronto.
Yes, sir, you are, yeah.
It makes sense that would be a good option. I found last week in Montreal the food was outstanding. I was quite taken with the Asian food in Montreal last week. It was great.
Yeah, there's also a really good ramen restaurant, Japanese ramen type stuff, just by Shepherd and Young. I'll send me an email. I'll send you the details because I worked there for 2 years at the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies.
Oh,
so
okay, cool.
That's my old stomping grounds, and there's some serious eats around that area. And I'm getting nostalgic now, so you're going to live through me,
I'm
going to live through you. There you go.
I'm going to let you go because you have 50 million other callers, and this is not financial literacy that you and I are on now. But I will tell you this, that it's interesting that you and I are talking tonight, because this evening, at roughly 10 minutes to 5, I tried to leave something at the station for you, which will be left for you, and I think you probably know what it is, will be left for you in the next day or so.
I don't, and, but I'm excited. Don't tell me, though. It'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise. Yeah, and it's edible, and we'll drop them off to you at some point tomorrow, probably, and I hope you enjoy them.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon, Al. Cheers.
2 weeks. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow. It's always exciting to get a present. And that reminds me, I'm still looking through all those wonderful recipes that were sent to me a few months ago by a couple of nice ladies. Handwritten, a lot of them. And some of them were taken right out of their favorite magazines and put on pieces of paper. Thank you again for that. I hope you're listening tonight. And I will be in touch and take some photographs of some of the things that I make. Thank you. It's so nice. It really is. All right, we'll be back after this.
VOCM's Nightline. Call now. 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM. This is Nightline on VOCM.
Hi, welcome back to the program. Jeez, by Twitter's on fire. Follow along at VOCM Nightline. Right now, line number one, Louise.
Hi, Mr. Richter. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. And I must tell you, this is my very, very, very first time calling open line.
Thank you so much.
But I was very moved last evening, and I saw a program on NTV, and there was a very brave and heroic man, and I didn't know him, never saw him before in my life, but his name was Mr. Rude, R-U-D-E.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw the program.
No, I don't... I try and stay away from television news. I'm ever since I got in the radio business, Louise, I'm doing my darndest to just absorb information
through the
radio.
Very difficult, isn't it?
It's fun, though.
But anyway, this Mr. Root, I thought, and I'm a retired nurse, and he was so impressive,
okay.
I must say, and he was so very brave to have joined up to the forces, to have gone to all those horrific war zones, because I also saw a movie recently where they were in the war zones and it was so, so bad. Anyway, I cannot understand how one would suffer terribly from the enormousness and the atrocities all about them. Anyway, while we at home sit about and not are fully aware. But anyway.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, isn't it? Anyway, Mr. Rude, and I have no idea he is, should be given all the support possible by the general public, because he was disallowed entrance to a public venue with his dog, who is a service dog, you know?
Oh, okay. I think a service dog is just the most fabulous thing.
I think so, too. I really do. And we have to thank his brothers and sisters for being over there and giving their lives for us, you know? And I understand that since he returned here with his beautiful therapeutic dog, that's what I was going to say. He was refused. I'm sorry,
into
a public venue. I'm not sure what it was.
Okay.
But anyway, I was appalled, and I am sure that each of us and those of us that saw the program were. Anyway, Mr. Rude, I say God help you. He's suffering from pretty serious psychiatric illness now, as a lot of them have when they return. And I ask that he be returned to his pre-war health.
Okay.
And I say that we here in my home, we love you and your beautiful therapeutic dog. She's gorgeous. Good luck, and thank you for telling your story. God bless. So that's about it, Mr.
Oh, my. Thank you, Louise. I really, really appreciate the call tonight. And you said that the program was on NTV, did you?
NTV last night.
Okay, I'll see if I can track it down on one of my buddies' recordings. Maybe they PVR'd it or something like that. Because that sounds like something well worth watching.
I know some of the guys you work with. I know Mr. The two guys that were dancing, I can't remember their names. I'm so frightened to death. I'm so nervous.
What are you nervous about?
The first time in my whole life, and I'm 90.
You're 90.
So anyway, I just wanted to, if nobody else called in about Mr. Rude, I want to tell him he's a magical, wonderful man, and I'm proud of him.
Well, I've never heard his name mentioned before, so it looks like you're the first. And my father would call you a youngster if you're only 90.
Would he?
Yeah.
Okay, God bless you, too. I don't know you either.
Well, Louise, hopefully one day I'll be able to make your acquaintance. And thank you so much for calling.
Are you from St. John's?
Yes, born and raised.
Huh?
Born and raised in Newfoundland.
My last name, because I don't want other people to know who I am. Okay, sweet
baby.
Not a problem.
Okay, my dear. Thank you, Louise. God bless.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Louise, first-time caller. It's always lovely to hear first-time callers. And apparently I missed Mike's birthday as well. Well, Mike, my barbecue buddy. Last year this time, you and I were competing at the Kitty Vitty Brewery for Pork Wars. We lost to the wizard himself, Steve Quinton. Still haven't gotten over that. But hopefully I'll see you on Thursday, and then we can have some reminiscing. Now, getting some emails from someone who says, just wait until Marjorie gets her light bill. Well, you know what? I think that's with reference to her continued support for former Premier Danny Williams. Just wait till we all get our light bill, I suppose. And then we will honestly see what there is to see in terms of a public movement. But most will say by then it will be, unfortunately, our wills will be trampled in the sense that we will have already accepted the reality that it's coming because we've been warned about it for as long as we have. It's interesting when we look at messaging when it comes from governments in that way. There's sending the message so early before something actually happens. It tempers us. And that, of course, is exactly the opposite of what the Liberals did with their first budget in 2016, and hence the backlash, one might assume. Drastic cuts without ample warning are difficult to swallow. Now, of course, there wasn't very much about the 2016 budget that any of us liked. And we're still seeing the political repercussions of that. Now, we are waiting for our next caller. I got an email here from David who says, just to say, after listening to Merv Wiseman and talking to him personally, I couldn't see a more principled, loyal, dedicated Newfoundlander. If I could vote, I would support him. 100%, 110%, 110%. And David even included a picture of Merv. Getting lots of support emails for all, well, not all candidates, but for the majority of them. And I suppose that's just because those who are supporting the other candidates don't know my email address. So, nightline@vocm.com. Bob says, please pass on to the powers that be upstairs the Christmas music. Last year didn't start until December 1st. And if they are looking for a public reaction, I have voiced mine. Don't play Christmas music so early is the essential message that Bob is providing to us. And Yeah, okay, so that's an email I don't understand, so I'll get to that afterwards. But folks, we're just waiting for your call here, and let's go to Twitter and see what's happening there. I have to say that someone has sent me an email about a blue whale. And I don't know if I should read this out loud, but let's just say that the gas created by a blue whale is large enough to fit another large animal inside. That's quite fascinating. Huh. I'm really interested in these emails that I'm getting, and much appreciated, folks. So let's head on over to the question of the day while we're waiting for our next caller, because I'm very curious as to what folks are thinking that government should do to quash the repeat offenders. And it's pretty much a tie. At 4,633 votes, 37% want jail sentences, and 38% want vehicle impoundment. Now, I'm a big fan of impounding vehicles, personally, but of course it requires money to get these vehicles out, and I'm just wondering if these folks have any money to get the vehicles out if they can't pay their fines in the first place, right? Look at the logic behind it that way. If you start impounding vehicles, will we, well, of course, if they're not paid for by a certain time, I guess they could be auctioned off, so that might not be a bad thing in terms of where we could see some revenue generation. But jail sentences, I don't know if that's a productive mechanism, because personally, or frankly, our jails are overcrowded as it is. And perhaps it could be sentences which are just, what's the word? There's a word for it when you only go on the weekend. I can't remember what it is, but maybe they could be extended. I don't know. But I think that taking these people out of society as productive, hopefully potentially productive members, would be counterintuitive. What we need to do is try and find some more mechanisms to reform their behavior as opposed to putting them behind bars. What do you think? I would love to hear your input on this. I'm not sure if Patty had any calls on this today, but while I do support the government in terms of increasing fines for the offenses under the Highway Traffic Act, I just don't know if it is going to make much of a difference, as we all know, because if you can't afford the car itself, do you really care that your fines will go up? Because you're not paying the fees one way or the other. It's a hard question to swallow, really. I don't know. If you'd like to comment on that or anything else tonight, you know what to do. Please give us a shout. I'm looking for that footage about Mr. Rude. I have not seen it yet, but hopefully it will come up, or someone could send me a link either on the VOCM Nightline account, which is nightline@vocm.com. That's the email, or Twitter @VOCMNightline. So we're still waiting for our next call. I think Patrick Myler is on the phone. He's going to be setting that up. If there's any other issues you'd like to talk about tonight, you know what you can do. Matt, you're sending me some pretty silly photographs. I appreciate all of them, but I can't talk about these on the air because they're a little too... Oh, wow, that's interesting. When you sneeze so hard, your mustache falls off. Okay, I can talk about that one. This is funny. Thank you, Matt. I really do appreciate this, but I can't really describe these pictures to our listening audience. So, folks, if you want to see them, just head on over to Nightline Twitter account, which is @VOCMNightline. It's all there. It truly is. It's an interesting day. I would love to hear what you were doing today on the day off that most would say we got as a result of those who fought for our freedoms oh so long ago. So I wonder, did you take a moment to think about that aspect, or do you just save that for the Remembrance Day itself, which of course was Saturday, the 11th of November. Where I was, we observed a few minutes of silence, and it was quite powerful being in a large room that has no sound, except for the sound of one or two kids who, of course, can't stay quiet for longer than 30 seconds, which I find just absolutely sweet in its own way. But it was great that we shared the observance together as a small community, if you will. And that, I think, is what it's all about. So no matter where you were, no doubt you observed those moments of silence, getting some great stories from those who were at the war memorial or other places.
And thank you for sharing all of them. We're going to go to the break. Afterwards, we've got Jerry in the queue. Looking forward to that conversation right after this.
VOCM's Nightline. Call now. 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM. This is Nightline on VOCM.
All right, welcome back to the program. We had Jerry on line one, but she seems to have disconnected. So we're going to try to see if we can get Jerry back on the line. But folks, if you have anything that you would like to say to us via email or telephone, which is what I would appreciate, because that way we can talk to each other as opposed to me just reading out the emails, which can be fun. But, you know, it's not as fun as speaking with you on the telephone, right? Right. It's story time for your listeners. It's always better when we're having those chats. Now, where are we going to go? Tomorrow, I'm not sure who we're going to be speaking with tomorrow, but I have a couple of calls lined up. I would like to focus this week on winter. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. What are we going to do to stay active? What are we going to do to stay entertained during the winter months? So I've reached out to a number of organizations who have outdoor activities. But folks, if you have any ideas or if you'd like to speak with us on the air between 8 and 10 or 7:30 to 9:30 Labrador time, do so. Give us a call at your leisure. We would love to promote the fun aspects of winter because, as you know, it can be pretty painful if you're sitting around just watching the snow accumulate outside of your window. If you're lucky enough to have a window. Some of us might live in basements. And goodness knows, if the snow gets up over your window there, it's a lot of darkness. We used to live in a basement apartment, my sister and I, and we kept the place warm with candles because we couldn't afford to pay the light bill. And that was, goodness, about 26, 27 years ago. That's incredible. And it worked. Yeah, we ate lots of cheap vegetable soups that we made, and we became masters of the puree. That's for sure. All right, we're going to go to line number one. Jerry's on the line. We're speaking with her right now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I think it's time that I should get a few words in on the
On Parkinson's?
Parkinson's, yes.
Okay.
I am not too lucid in this time of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that anyway, so you make allowances for that.
Of course.
I was hoping to get it a lot quicker than this, but, you know, when I started out, some of you people told me I was crazy, but I didn't do it before, and I'm taking on something I couldn't handle. So, anyway, I was brave enough to try it, and I brought it down to when I wanted to know everything about the Parkinson's.
Okay.
And I started to read up on it, and I had material here, but, you know, there's a difference when you're just glancing at it and then trying to study it. So I went at as good a job as I could with it then.
Okay.
And after a while, my eyes were blurry almost from reading so much.
From reading so much. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But anyway, I said to myself, this is crazy. You got the professional people are doing all this part of it. What I want to do is give them an idea of what it's like to be a first patient, you know, or somebody who's dealing with the system. And that's what I did. I started to think of things that happened when I was going through different stages. And it's funny, I was thinking about some things that caused other things to happen with me.
All right.
Because there was once when I was first in the hospital and the home, you know, I was there and I was looking at sizing up the people that I was thinking about and working with, you know, trying to get them to see my side of it. Let me work with you, you know, and I'll see what I can learn from doing that. So I was there one night, and of course this has happened more than once, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
but there was the nurse that was in charge was going up and down the lines, the roads, the rules of the road, you know, coming from the top and going down to the back of the, entering all the demands from the patients. So I was there and I was lying down. I wasn't there long enough to be let out of bed yet on my own. So I had to stay in the bed. You weren't allowed to get out of the bed, you know. And so I was there and this nurse was in charge and she was coming down and she was getting so tired. One night was really heavy and she had all this to do. And she was walking down the and I called her. So she went down, she was saying, "My, I'm so tired tonight, we're so busy." And I was thinking, "My gosh, this is terrible, you know." So she was walking down, and she went past me and went down to the back and came back again. And she said, "Now there you are," she said, "look what she wanted. I had to come all this way down just to pick up her pillow." and that's what she wanted. But the same, the other lady was in the same situation, you know, she wasn't allowed out of bed either.
Okay.
So she had to reach out for her pillow. So I was there, and I had been lying there, and I wanted, guess what I wanted?
A pillow.
A pillow. A pillow. That's what I was getting for her. She didn't know that, you know, because when I called her, she just knew that I wanted her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there, and she came along, and then went all through this, and then she said to me, "You know, my it's so hard, you know, you're trying to do all this and you're getting really busy and I'm tired and I'm going to go home."
Right.
You know, no, that's all the way. So that's a normal way to, things work out. But anyway, she told me all this. And when she was finished talking to me about the other woman, she leaned, she said to me, what's your problem? And I looked at her and I couldn't believe it. Because I had, when I had been in the bed and not allowed to get out, I was rolling around, you know, and I had knocked the pillow off on the floor.
Oh, my pillow wars.
And that's and that's, when she looked at me, and I was afraid to say it because I didn't know whether I should laugh or cry, but I had to tell her, you know, what do I want? I want my pillow.
So, if I'm understanding correctly, you only had one pillow to go around?
No.
Okay, so you each had your own, but it was just a question of finding where they were too, or not knocking them down. But of course, that happens to the to all of us at some times, right? I remember sometimes that you knock things off the bed, and sometimes it can be easy, sometimes it's not to just grab them. And of course, in with a condition like the one that you have with Parkinson's, it's not as easy as you'd like. So if you're waiting for your comfort to be reestablished, that can be a long wait.
Yes, it can. But you feel so bad, you know, after getting sympathetic with her for being so tired. Then I had to give her the same job.
Yeah, oh my. That's a great story, Jerry.
That story stayed in my mind so strongly, you know, so that when I got into this, I started thinking about it. And I said, there must be a better way to get in touch and do what you have to do. So I started looking for ways of trying to get it easier, and especially now where this money is the name of it all now, you know, they've got to try to save money every way they go. So you have to do that. And you don't want to say you don't need the nurses, because you do. Why would we do without them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now I've got a, with me, I've got a thing about the, also, they what do you call them?
I'm not sure. We were talking about pillows.
Yes.
And the expense, how expensive medication is.
Everything is. Yes. Well, one time, some years ago, I made a suggestion to the Department of Health, the Minister of Health, I guess,
okay,
that they should have a old age pension, you know, they should have a health pension.
A health pension? Tell me more. I like this idea.
What?
What do you mean by that?
Yes, when you go to work, you got to give a certain amount of your money to the
Oh, yes, put it aside. It's sort of like a health insurance, but yes, you get your employer to take care of it for you.
That's right. And I don't see it. Why not? Because, you know, you got to pay for it one way or the other.
You do have to pay for it one way or the other, but if it comes off your payroll, your employer would have to pay, I think, if it's like anything like a pension or an employment insurance, it might come out of the pocket of the employer. I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that, but that's an interesting idea.
Well, I had an idea at the time because I was thinking, you know, about all the money that you have to have if you get sick.
Yep. Yeah, that's a really interesting idea, Jerry. So beyond health insurance, you could have a health pension, so to speak.
All right, if you could.
Yeah, assuming that you have a long-term job that you'd be able to collect from one. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I worked, you know, two or three minimum wage retail jobs, and it'd be hard to collect from all those places after so many years, hey? So
that's right.
Something we can explore, for sure.
But no, we can't afford it, but, you know, there's some way you got to get around it, because it seems that we all end up with an old age when we need the money, and we're not working anymore, we need it then, you know? And that's when you get sick.
Yeah.
Usually.
Oh, my. Oh, you're scaring me now, Jerry.
Well, I don't want to do that.
No, that's okay. I just mean, you know.
I'm just thinking
of the concept and wow. Oh, my. Well, Jerry, listen, did you have a good long weekend? Were you able to get any writing done?
No? But I tell you what I did 3 or 4 years ago now, 1 year. I organized, we had a session down here where we had the patients, we're not patients, we're seniors, and anyway, we had a religious part of it, and we had a reception after, and we when we were getting ready for it, my daughter and I made up a lot of certificates, and we presented that we've paid a place. We had a place for the name of the soldier who had been involved in one of the wars, the big wars, you know. And so we filled them out and gave them to him as a reminder of that. And people were delighted with it. When we had our service down there, here in the room, in the building, and when they were leaving, I gave them a certificate saying that we had invited them, and they had come and participated in it.
Just lovely.
And there was a couple of people on the mainland that we knew, and I sent them personally one of these certificates, and I got letters from them and telephone calls that they were so delighted to be remembered.
Wow.
So that was my effort for it.
Well, that's lovely. We do have to leave it there, though, because we're up against the clock here for the end of the show. But, Jerry, it's always a pleasure.
I'll call you maybe Monday or Tuesday.
Next week?
Better shape. I'm ready to go to sleep now.
Sure. Well, listen, have a restful and a restorative sleep, and we'll speak with you soon.
Yes.
Okay.
I appreciate your calling me, because I never know when you're... have any time or anything, you know.
Well, we're always happy to talk to you, Jerry. You know that.
Well, I'm sure you say that to all your...
No, I don't. And some of them will tell you. I don't say it to everybody.
Oh. And I appreciate that more.
All right. You take care. Have a good sleep.
Yes, thank you. And I'll call you back early next week.
Hopefully.
When I'll be half awake.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you for calling me and tell John that I'd like to talk to him too.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night and God bless everybody.
Good night. God bless. Thank you. Thanks. Love my conversations with Jerry. She's always got some great stuff to regale us with, and it's just wonderful. Before I forget, happy belated birthday to the Queen of Mount Pearl, Her Highness Rhonda McMeekin. And happy birthday in advance to Dean. And Mike, well, you know, I don't have to say anything to you, Mike. You've said it all. We're going to say goodnight. I'm getting lots of emails about individuals who are running for Buren Bonavista Trinity. Remember that the opportunities for you to vote for the nominee are happening tomorrow. Once again, I will tell you where they are too, and then we're going to go. Tomorrow, November 14th, Centerville Wareham Trinity Fire Hall, Dildo Inn by the Bay, Marystown Hotel and Convention Center, from 4 to 9 p.m. And on Wednesday, the Garrick Theater in Bonavista, Clarenville Inn in Clarenville, and Legion Branch 25 in Fortune. That's where you can choose one of the five candidates. Frankly, it's a ranked ballot, so you can choose them all. But the one who gets 50%, I believe, or more, is the one. So good luck to all five candidates. I guess we'll find out who gets it sometime on the second half of our show on Wednesday. Hopefully we'll be able to get all the ballots counted in an efficient and rapid manner, and we will find out by then. If not, you'll hear the results Thursday morning with our morning show. No doubt news director Linda Swain will bring the details to you. All right. Thank you very much. On behalf of myself and producer Patrick Myler, have a great night. Lila Tuff.